2 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So, and he's talking about money. He's talking about offerings. He's talking about giving. This whole chapter, with chapter 8, is about giving, as you know. And so, when he says that he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, what he actually says is, the harvest is up to you. If you want a small harvest, all you have to do is sow a little. But if you want a big harvest, you better know to sow much. You have to give much. And then we drop down to verse 10. It says, now may he, and some translations say, now he will. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So the Bible says that the seed that we sow, the offerings that we sow in our offerings, and in our, the tithing comes from God. You know that. And it belongs to God. You cannot go around and buy hamburgers and other things with God's money. That's God's money. It comes from Him. But then, he says, he will supply seed to you. So that offering that you have in your hand, that seed that God supplied to you, he says, he will multiply it. He will increase it. He will increase that seed. That's what God wants to do. He has to do that if he wants his kingdom to grow. And he can only use you to do that. He can only use people who trust him and who have faith in him to do that. And it says here, and he will increase the fruits of your righteousness. You get a whole lot back when you sow into the kingdom. You get your seed back, you get the multiplication back, and you get increased fruit of righteousness. And it all starts with giving. Now, I want to show you just one example of how it works. And we're going to go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Here we have a good example of how it works. Now, remember, God's a God of abundance. God's not a God of lack. God's not behind lack. He doesn't want anybody to lack. He doesn't want us to go without. He wants you to prosper and do well. And he wants the church to do well. He's not into lack and going without. That doesn't come from God. But we need to know that our blessing comes from God. Doesn't come from man. Comes from God. We need to know where the source is. We need to know who the miracle maker is. And I trust God that this morning we will see that the trigger that will set off the miracle is in your hands. It's in your hands. Okay, John chapter 6 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now here's a trap. He set a trap for him. Because this is what we always think about, and this is how we think. And it comes from this Babylonian system of the world. that every need is connected to money. The first thing we think of when we see a need is budget. How much is it going to cost me to take care of this? How much is it going to cost me? Budget. Because the budget will tell you what you can and cannot do. It will limit you. There's a certain cut-off line that the budget will tell you and will stop your faith right there. God doesn't work with budgets. God works with faith. He's not looking for a budget. He's not looking for how big your budget is. He's not looking for how big the budget of the church is. He's looking to see how much faith we have. See if we can trust Him. Now remember, there's one thing we never should forget, and that is God is the God of more than enough. He's not the God of enough. He's the God of more than enough. He's into the abundance. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and that more abundantly. And God wants that abundant life to come to every one of you. He's not blessed when people lack, when they go without. He is not blessed by that. He is blessed when you are in the overflow. Because that means you have received all that Jesus died for. You didn't decide that, well, I don't need all of that. I don't need that abundance. Jesus came to give us life. I'm happy with that. But I don't have to have the abundant life. Oh, well, God wants you to have the abundant life. He wants to use that abundance. He needs you to be in abundance. And He can do it. He can do it. And so Philip, well, he just failed the test. Right there, because now his little calculator is going. And verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient. See, there's the budget. That's probably what they had, 200 denarii in the money bag. But it's not enough. And that's what budgets do. It's never enough. 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have what? A little. We don't even have enough money to give everybody a little. We're always short. He failed that test. He walked with Jesus. He saw Him doing things that were just impossible. He saw Jesus doing all of that and still could not figure out that Jesus didn't need money to feed these people, and the budget's not part of this deal. It's not part of this thing. Faith is, how much can you trust God with? How much are you willing to trust Him for? That's the big question. That's the big question. How much can we trust Him for? And you know, and then we have this little thing. God help us. Boy, God help us. That when you begin to start working up your faith to receive from God, you look around and see who's going to be used by God. Who's going to be my provider in this thing? Well, we're not to look around to people. Our faith should be on God. Your provider is in heaven, not on earth. Now, God will use somebody, but you don't have to tell Him who to use. You'll be surprised who God will use. But if here's the problem, and here's where we make that mistake. If we begin to look at possible providers on earth, then we exclude ourselves from the provision of God. Because the one that we've targeted might not have what I need. And if he fails, my faith fails. The whole thing comes tumbling down. You cannot look around at people and say, well, I believe God's going to use that person or God's going to use that person. You cannot do that. God is your provider and He will do what He wants to do. You cannot prescribe to God what to do and who to use. You take all the fun out of it. Don't limit God to one person and say, well, I'll contact that person. And I'll just mention my need. Somebody said faith without hints is dead. I'll just mention my need. I put all my faith into that. I hope you'll catch the hint. And then come up with what I need. And come with my budget. You'll be surprised to see what kind of budgets we get through email. From people who look up to us as their provider. What a sad commentary that is on their faith in God. I'm a lousy provider, you know. But God, He's a generous provider. When he comes to take care of a need, he doesn't look at the limits of the need. He just comes with the abundance. Praise God for that. I'm so glad He's my provider. He's the one who provides for us in this church. I'm amazed. You know, I'm amazed how God can bless a small church as much as He blesses us. And, you know, I look at our situation and I sometimes scratch my head and say, God, I don't know where the blessings come from. It comes from You. It comes from You. Because suddenly, sometimes when we have our smallest attendance, we have the biggest offering. And I say, you know, God, You like to bring fun into this whole thing. Because, you know, people look at the number of people in church and say, you're going to have a good offering today. And then it's a small offering. Because their faith was in the numbers of the attendance and not in God. God doesn't need numbers. God needs faith. He doesn't need numbers. I mean, He told old Gideon, you got too many people. You got too many people. Get rid of them. And He got rid of a whole bunch of them. God says there's still too many. Why would He do that? I know why. Because they would come afterwards and say, boy, we really beat them up because we came with our whole army. We were more than them. And take the glory. But now when He sent Him off with just a handful of people, all the glory went to God. Everybody knew, even the enemy, that could only be God. Success, a successful church is not a church with many people necessarily. It's a church with a lot of faith. Strong faith. Trust in God. That's a strong church. That's a successful church. We can say, well, I trust God to take care of this. I trust God to take care of that. And He does. And you say, well, this thing is working. That's success. That is success. Faith is successful. And it will be successful. And so, I believe Jesus is going to show them something here. And they're going to learn a lesson here in this exercise. That money has nothing to do with your need. But faith has. Now, God may send some money. He may send some other things. I don't know how God will supply in needs. And it doesn't matter. The fact is, He will supply in the need. He will take care of the need. We just need to be faithful, which means you have to be full of faith. Where are we now? Verse 8. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Now watch. But what are they among so many? What are they among so many? Now we can look at what we have and say, well, this is little. You know, I don't have much to give. Or what I have is not enough. What I have is not enough. You will be surprised. Don't limit what you have. Don't limit the potential of what you have. Because in the little that you have, God can do amazing things. Don't count. Don't go counting. Just let your faith go. Just let your faith go. Don't come with this attitude of, what is this for so many? But what are they among so many? Because he looked at what they have, and he looked at the people, and his math didn't add up. And because his math didn't add up, his faith didn't add up. And I believe Jesus just having some inside fun with them. Because by now they should have known. You don't come with that attitude to God. You come and say, well, they should have said, well, Lord, there's no problem here. We don't have a problem because you're here. You're here. And we're going to bless these people today. Today they're going to see something. They're going to be well fed, and there's going to be an overflow because you are here. That's what they should have said. But they went counting and adding up and looking at things, and the comparisons just didn't look very good. Verse 10, then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. You can't be intimidated by numbers if you begin to count, you know. Don't begin counting. So there were 5,000 men. And if you go to the other Gospels account of the story, you'll say, besides the women and children. Verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, his disciples, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down. And likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over. I think they ate all the fish. But there were 12 baskets over of the bread. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. Now, this is a big miracle. This was a big miracle. Jesus did several miracles of provision. You know that the first miracle Jesus did was a miracle of provision, when he turned the water into wine. Where I always call that the unnecessary miracle. Because nobody was dying. There was no urgency. There was no real need. They already had wine. All he needed to do was to show them he's the God of the abundance. I'll give you more than you need. And even if it's not a desperate need, I will still supply. That's the first miracle that he chose to do. Was a miracle of provision, just to show his heart of abundance and generosity to the people. That's him. That is our provider. That is our provider. That is his heart. He's not into budgets. He's not into, well, you know what, I think you already had enough. He's not into that. He's not into that. He's into, well, if you need more, I'll give you more. And so these people were about to learn something, that what you start off with is small in comparison to what you will end with. So don't begin to count what you have. Paul said, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. Don't look at the seed, look at the harvest. Because if you look at the seed, you're going to limit your faith. But when you look at the harvest, you say, oh, that's what I want. That's what I have. That's what I'm going to have. That's what I want. And you begin to prepare for that. Now, the thing is that without faith, you cannot please God. And when people cannot please God, that's when they look around to other people to please them. But our faith is in God. And our faith is in His provision. And His ability to provide. And in His willingness to provide. He can and He wants to. Now, here is what had to happen that day. For this miracle to happen, somebody had to give. It wasn't much. But somebody had to give. Now, I'm looking at this lad who had the bread and the fish. And it says there in the beginning of this story that the multitudes were there. They followed Jesus for all day long. And they were hungry and weary. They needed to eat. Why would that boy not be hungry too? Why would he just give his lunch away? He was hungry too, I believe, just like the rest of them. But for that whole big need to be taken care of, somebody had to give something. That triggered that miracle. That small contribution, that small giving, that Andrew said, what is that for so many? Small as it was, triggered a big miracle. But somebody had to give something. And everybody has something to give. Everybody has something to give. It's just hard sometimes, it seems, to give to God. I've been to poor countries and where people seem to not have much. Although everybody has a cell phone and everybody has, you know, the nice gadgets and all of that. And you go through the streets and you see a thriving economy. People are buying and selling and they're busy. Merchandise all over the place. And yet, when it comes to giving to God, there doesn't seem to be money. And look, everybody has something to give. You have something to give. And even if it's small, everybody has seed that God has given him. The problem is you can look at it and say, well, this is not enough. This is not much. And it doesn't even, well, what's the point of giving that because it's not much? Well, that's not how God looks at that. Because inside of that seed, and that's the most amazing thing I find. When God, when He compares our giving to seed, why would He do that? Because seed has potential. Inside that seed is potential. It's bursting with a harvest. Inside that seed is a bountiful harvest. That's what God sees. Well, when Jesus saw the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, He didn't see a little boy's lunch. He saw a big catering business. Are we going to feed all these people? Because inside, when the moment that boy gave it, that potential was released. If he kept it, he would have fed himself. But because he gave, 5,000, counting the men only, were fed. And they still ended up with more than what they started with. You know, I wonder what they did with the 12 baskets, you know. And it's a nice thing and a cool thing to say, well, every disciple went home with a basket full of bread. But I don't think that's what happened. What would they were travelers? What would they do with 12 baskets full of bread? Carry it along with them. I wonder if they just told the boy, "Well, yeah, thanks for the what you contribute, and here's the rest. Here's the change. Here's the change. I hope you can carry that. God bless you." Isn't that what God said in Malachi? He said, "If you trust me, I will open the windows of heaven and I'll pour out a blessing that is so much that you can't contain it." Well, that boy ended up with a blessing that he could not contain. What did he do with 12 baskets full of bread? He's just a lad. Well, you've been with a multiplier. Can you imagine when he got home? And he said, "Well, Mom, that lunch that you packed." You won't believe. Because here it is. It's hard to believe. Without even telling them, we fed over 5,000 people with it. This is what was left over. Listen. There are big miracles available. Without need, there cannot be a miracle. And the bigger the need, the bigger the miracle. But you have to trigger that miracle. You have to take a step of faith and give something for that provision to come. Now, I know what it is to be broke. There were times in our ministry when we were missionaries that we did not have money to buy a domestic postage stamp. I know what that is. I can tell you lots of stories. But we've never failed to give God or to honor God with his tithe. Never. And give something on top of it. I remember when we just put a few pennies in. But we saw the miracles. We saw the miracles. I told somebody, one day, how God just did all these financial miracles for us. And then the person said, "Well, we're in the ministry too. It never happens to us." I said, "But you got somebody who writes your paycheck. We don't. We don't. All our provision comes from God. We didn't have a salary. For 9 years, we didn't have a salary. But God was our provider. He still is." When I worked in the bank and I had a good salary and a good income and lots of benefits, we were broke at times. And there came a time when we could not tithe and stopped. And just went down that spiral. Deeper and deeper and deeper into it until one day we realized, look, we have to stop this thing. And I don't encourage you to do what we did. You do what you have to do to get out of your situation. You come to God with your situation. Don't copy me, right? Because you're going to be responsible for what you do. But I just felt, look, I have borrowed money off my credit card to buy all kinds of stuff. I'm going to take money off that credit card, that cursed thing, and tithe. Because people will borrow money for everything, but they will not borrow money for God. Don't even talk about that. But I had to reverse our situation. We were just going down that thing, deeper and deeper into that pit, and we couldn't get out of it. We could not get out of it. And that's the day when things turned around, was that day. When we started honoring God with the first fruits of our income, even though I borrowed it. Because giving triggers the miracle. Giving triggers the provision. And we didn't tell anybody. We were too embarrassed to tell anybody. But that's the day things turned around. And we saw God bring us up out of that pit and put us on solid ground. Man is not our provision. Man cannot be your provider. Man cannot be your provider. And you know, there's something that we learned from Miles Monroe, that the Bible doesn't say, pray and it will be given to you. It says, give and it will be given to you. Give and it will be given to you. There are some things that we pray for, but there are some other things that you have to give for. If you want people to love you, you have to give love. The Bible says that. In Luke, there, where is it? Luke chapter 6, I think. It says, whatever you want, you have to give. That's the principle. What you sow is what you reap. What you sow is what you reap. And if you're not willing to sow, it doesn't help to run around to people to provide for you, because they've got their own things to take care of. They're not going to take care of you. Now, if God speaks to them, that's something else. That's between them and God. Luke 6. Let's quickly read there. We'll begin to wind down with this. Now, you know, remember, there are principles hidden in here. And when you pick up that principle will bring the blessing. Verse 30, Luke 6. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. So we don't want to be like the world. We want to be like God. Didn't Paul say, my little children, for whom I labor in pain until Christ is formed in you, the giver. 34, and if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, there's the abundance, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. The same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And so, our provision, to be honest with you, is in our hands. You got to trigger that miracle. You have to trigger that miracle. You have to give. Now, I found it interesting that the little boy had to give. Now, wouldn't it be a scandal today? Wouldn't it be a scandal today? We have 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children, and only one of them has food with him to take it away from a boy. Won't that be a national? Won't that be on TV and YouTube? These church people took away this boy's lunch. But when the prophet went to the widow, and he said, "Well," she said, "Well, I just have this last meal for me and my son." and I'm just getting ready to prepare it for us. He said, well, you go bake a cake of that and just feed me first. Isn't that a scandal? Isn't that a scandal? To take a widow's last meal and say, well, I eat that, thank you. Isn't that a scandal? No, it's a trigger to set off a miracle. It's a trigger that set off a miracle that took care of that woman until the famine was over. You know, when the moment you begin to need faith, you'll know there is risk. Because where there's no risk, you don't need faith. We're looking at things that we want to do and that we've done through the years, and we saw big risks. I see big risks ahead of us now. But I'm not moved by that. Because I've already learned now that my eyes are not on the risk. My eyes are on the provider. Because we put our trust in God. We're not moved by the risk. We're moved by faith. We're not looking at the risk. We look at the provider. We don't look at the possible scandal. We look at the provision. The good thing is if you give to God, you make Him part of your finances. Well, that's a good thing to do. You link up with Him. You hook up with Him financially. You're on the winning side. And don't go talking about your need all day long. And complain about the need and just talk about and be so overwhelmed and possessed by the need. Become possessed by the provider. And His provision. And knowing He's a God of abundance. He'll give you more than you need. He'll give you more than you need. Look, we need to move in to a higher level. We need to get ourselves ready to move into that supernatural level with God. Now we can do well in the natural. And that can be good. We can do good things in the natural. But we can do a whole lot better in the supernatural. That's where we're heading. That's where we're heading. I believe that this is the year of the supernatural. This is the year of abundance. This is the year of breakthrough. And you know what? I just, as I meditated on this, it just came to me, it's not only breakthrough, it's breaking in. We're breaking into that provision. We're breaking into the next level. We're breaking into the supernatural. Because that's where we're going to be. And everywhere, when you want to break through, there's a barrier. There's a wall. The system set up a wall. The answer, if you want to do something for God, the answer from the Babylonian system is always no. You cannot do this. There's always a no. There's always a wall. There's always a mountain. There's always a barrier. It's always there. There's always somebody with a budget. You cannot do this. But we're breaking through all of that. We're breaking through all of that. We're breaking into the provision. That separation between us and the glory, we'll break through to that thing. And when the devil tries to fence you in, that's a time where you need to say and take a stand and be bold and say, you're not going to fence me in. I'm getting out of this. And I'll just do the opposite of what you want me to do. Because when he fences you in financially, then you begin to hold back. Because you're counting the cost. You're looking at numbers. And that's when you do the opposite of what he wants you to do. What he manipulates you to do. And I have found out that in the toughest times financially, we had to give to get out of it. We had to give. One of my early mentors, when we were just stepping out in ministry, said to me, you give yourself out of trouble. Now that makes no sense in the natural. But boy, was that good advice. You give yourself out of trouble. And we've always done that since then. We've always done that. Now here's the picture of a church. That boy had to do something. He had to give something. And he gave it to the disciples. And then they gave it to the people. There was a lot of giving going on. But the need was not a need of money. Jesus didn't need to prove his power or his anointing. He didn't have to put a miracle show on or anything. The need was to feed the people. That was the need. Now we can quickly connect that to money and say, well, you know, we need, because we don't have the money, we can supply the need. There's a world there. There's a church to feed with faith giving truth. That's the need. There's a world out there who needs to be fed with the good news that there's another way to live. You don't have to worry about death because you're moving in to be with him. They are in need of truth. And to take care of that need, somebody will have to give over here on this side so that that need there can be taken care of. That is a picture of the church. That is what church is all about. Those who have give, even if it's not much. You give because the provider is there and he is going to take care of the need. And that is how church operates. But the whole thing started with giving. Somebody had to give something. And it started off a miracle that we still talk about today. God can do it. Your need is not money. Your need is faith. And it's not faith that's in your head. It's faith to take a step, to do something. Faith is action. Your miracle is in your hands. Your provision is in your hands. God's already provided that in Christ. He's provided in all of our needs. But to trigger the manifestation of it, that power is in your hands. Praise God. It's within reach of everybody. It's within reach of everybody. Praise God. Thank God for givers and the ability to give. And thank God for his abundant provision. What a mighty God we have. And a generous God. All things are possible with him. All things are possible. There's nothing that's not possible for God. He can do all things. He can supply in your need and wants to according to the riches of his glory. That's big. Boy, that is big. According to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. There is nothing bigger than that. And he's able to do that. Praise God. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's rejoice in him.